We've been focusing on Zach Taylor a lot this week and some of the struggles of the Bengals offensively. And I think really for the first time since Zach became the head coach, his role in the offense has been under scrutiny more than at any point since early 2019, and for good reason. This team still goes through very long lulls offensively. We've talked about how, you know, in the first half of games, they've gotten the three deep balls to Ja'Marr Chase, which that's fantastic, but other than that, just three touchdowns. They're not as efficient as you would like them to be. They're not as proficient as you would like them to be. And especially when the schedule gets tougher, this team's going to have to do more. And with the talent they have, they should be doing more. So Seth Galeen, a Pro Football Focus, did a very good, very thorough piece. If you have not read it, I've tweeted it out a couple of different times, pff.com, that sort of examines Zach Taylor's role in what the Bengals are doing offensively and what he specifically and this unit could be doing better. I appreciate the time, Seth. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well. I want folks to read the piece that haven't, but just sort of 30,000 foot view. You look at the talent. Joe Burrow is healthy. Joe Burrow is maybe not what he was in 2019 from the ability to run around and make plays standpoint, but still, he's Joe Burrow and he's healthy. They've got pretty good offensive weaponry, and that might be a mild way of putting it, and yet this offense is still spinning its wheels so often. Why is that the case from your point of view?
I mean, certainly I just think there's not a lot of creativity in what they do offensively in terms of, hey, they just kind of line up and they try and play football. And I think we're realizing as we get into this modern age of football that defenses are just too good to, especially at the NFL level, just line up in the same personnel grouping, line up in the same formations, and just try and win one-on-one battles. And that's what the Bengals are doing. Now, Joe Burrow at LSU in 2019 was one of the best one-on-one players that we've ever seen. And he can make plays in the backfield. He can do this, he can do that. And that's not happening. Obviously, the ACL injury doesn't help, but I don't think he even was that type of player in his rookie season before the injury. So if that's not the player you're getting, and I think, you know, eventually it could come back, I don't know, but if that's not the player you're getting, then, hey, let's do some more scheme-heavy lifting to get Burrow into good spots instead of just running empty and running the same patterns and then trying to go under center and then running outside zone, but you're not putting any disguise or eye candy on top of the run scheme. It just seems like a boring offense.
It does, and you capture this perfectly in what you wrote, because I've watched them often this year, and I've thought, okay, they're going empty, they're spreading the field. It really just looks like they're lining up and playing ball. And despite their weaponry and despite Joe's talents, there has to be more to that. And to me, that's kind of why you hired Zach Taylor. That's why you wanted a guy who had, you know, spent time with Sean McVay. And nobody among all these Sean McVayites had spent more time with Sean McVay than Zach Taylor. And so I've walked away from the first five games, each of them going, all right, they've done just enough to win and to hang in every game at least. But I was expecting more from a creativity standpoint, and I'm just not getting it. If you could add an element to this offense schematically, what would it be?
Yeah, I mean, I would just kind of move people around more, and not just necessarily, okay, well, Ja'Marr is going to play in the slot sometimes rather than out wide. Just move people around pre-snap, move people around at the snap to get defenders' eyes moving in different places that you want them to. And I think that would be good. I also think, and this is tough to like prove in the data, I don't think that Zach Taylor, and this goes back to last year as well, or whoever the designer and play caller is getting guys open down the field on play action. So what ends up happening is now you're better last year throwing down the field because you've added a singular talent in Ja'Marr Chase who can just go down the sideline, throw the ball up to him, and he's going to make a play. That's obviously something you didn't have last year. So that's been better, but they still can't create a post route for a touchdown. Like, as part of the scheme, obviously you have a deep Ja'Marr Chase touchdown when Burrow's scrambling around against a two-man rush against the Packers at the end of the half. But, like, in terms of, hey, play action, we're going to get the safety to bite, we're going to do this, and we're going to get a post route, we're going to get a crossing run. They just can't get these guys open. And, you know, one of the things that I'm curious about is it because if you look at the individual players in this receiving core, you have you know, potentially a superstar receiver in Ja'Marr Chase. You have this very good, very, very good slot receiver in Tyler Boyd, and you have this other type of receiver in T. Higgins, who's been very good since he's been a rookie. The problem is you have Jamar and T are kind of the same players, outside receivers, can win one-on-one in different ways, but that's what they do. And then you have a slot receiver in Tyler Boyd, who's more of a bigger slot. Who is the guy who's taking the top off the defense? That, you know what I mean? So if you're going to talk about these play action schemes and stuff, or just the ability to get guys open down the field, well, it helps if you have, and I know I'm going to get in trouble for saying this, but it helps if you have John Ross. You know what I mean?
That is a sentence I didn't think I'd hear anybody say, in particular on these airwaves.
Well, but like, obviously John Ross is not that type of, is not like, you know, he has speed, but he's obviously not a great receiver. But somebody like that to kind of keep the defense honest, because they're just, they're screwing down with the safeties, and then you just have nowhere to go. The Bengals are trying to control the first 10 yards from the line of scrimmage, but without anything to keep, and that's great. If you want to be that offense, because Burrow is super accurate and he understands the game, like, great. But if you have no one to create anything deeper, you know, past 20 yards, and then the defense just kind of sits on those routes, and that's a problem.
Everything feels clunky and cluttered, and I really thought that with the personnel they have, and I know Higgins has missed some games, but I really would have thought that Tyler Boyd, this would be a perfect opportunity for him to just rack up catches, be a guy who moved the chains, pick up some yards after the catch, create mismatches, and that really hasn't happened this year. Why not?
I think partly is because Joe trusts Jamar so much, and maybe he's bypassing some opportunities to get Tyler Boyd the ball. But, you know, when I rewatched the Packers game, I'm seeing a lot of, you know, if you're in the slot, which is where Tyler Boyd plays, and you're getting these defenses that are going to play in the new modern world, you're going to play with two high safeties, well, that's how you, like, with two safeties, you can bracket any slot receiver you want. And that's been difficult on Tyler Boyd. Now, you're getting obviously great play on the outside from Jamar Chase, but I think finding ways to get him involved is, like you said, it's paramount to the success of this offense.
Seth Galinas, senior football analyst at PFF underscore Seth, also co-host of the Too High podcast. You can read his piece on the Bengals, their offense, and Zach Taylor at PFF.com. We've tweeted out a link as well. Two more really quick. You're going to have folks who go, well, okay, the offensive line and the protection, I think, relative to the preseason expectations has been okay. You will have folks that go, look, as long as you're playing behind this offensive line, you're going to be limited as to what you could do. What would you say to that?
I mean, there's always ways to deal with that. And one of the things that I think people always forget about the 2019 LSU team, where, okay, they were spread. They had these three unbelievable receivers on the field that are all playing in the NFL, and, like, two of them are superstars in the NFL. So, like, that's what they did. They just played one-on-one on the outside, and they won. They did that. They also, when they needed to play, they condensed the formation. They brought everyone inside. They had Thad Moss, who I think was a Bengal for like 2 days. They had Thad Moss at tight end. They put him inside. Play action to Clyde Edwards-Helaire. They protected with seven. They protected with the running back and the tight end. And then they used the three receivers down the field on crossing routes, on vertical routes. So, like, you can find ways to protect the quarterback even with a bad offensive line, and they're not doing that either.
Are there elements from what the Rams do that you can implement almost instantly here?
Just, you know, a jet sweep once in a while. Like, you know, I wrote that in the article. Like, the Rams, who have gone away from the so-called McVay, you know, Jared Goff offense with Stafford, because now with Stafford, they're in the shotgun, they're super spread, all that stuff. They've still run 21 plays where there's been a jet motion action, whether they give the ball or not. The Rams, the Bengals have done one time. And I don't think they gave the ball. So, like, you know, just add a jet sweep once in a while would be good.
I'd like to see it. I don't know. I mean, for all the good vibes, I think Zach has done a lot of really good things, but I think the implementation of his offense, despite their talent, despite the fact they've won 3 out of 5, certainly deserves a closer examination, and you've provided some. Seth, I appreciate the time, man. Thanks so much.
Anytime, dude.
You got it. Follow Seth on Twitter at PFF underscore Seth Reed. What he wrote, it's good, man. And look, the reality is this team offensively, they are going to have to start performing better against the opponents they have. The idea for this team was to outscore people. it's on one hand, they've won in spite of this offense not being that efficient. On the other hand, it's got to get better. And they're not changing the quarterback. We like the personnel. The head coach was hired because he's an offensive guy. He's under the microscope for the first time in that regard. I think the other parts of his job, Tony has said this a bunch, the other parts of his job, you can't help but like, right? But this is why he was hired. He's going to be calling the plays. The offensive guy coming from Sean McVay. This offense is vanilla. And I think Seth put it the right way. I thought about this watching the game in Chicago. It felt like, all right, we're going empty. We're lining up. We're spreading five dudes. Somebody go win a matchup. Sounds great. I'm not sure that model is sustainable. And so far, that model has yielded very sort of limited results. All right, UC and UCF on Saturday. Are the Knights going to go after Ahmad Gardner? Chad Brendel takes a break from fighting with Mackenzie Milton in time to talk about that, this game on Saturday. And the UC Bearcat basketball team, they charge toward the season. Preseason poll came out yesterday. Cincinnati picked to finish sixth. Chad reacts to that as well next.